that kind of saying, like, you know, teach a man to fish and he will fish forever, or something along the lines of that. But you know,
is that how it goes? Hey guys, you are listening to another episode of the 1 to 100 podcast, where we will be talking about everything design related, shed some light on our personal experiences, and help you in understanding the architecture realm. You are here with your girl Bethany, and today we'll be talking about architecture and motherhood. Today's episode will explore how the role of the mother fits into the context of architecture through the experiences of our special guest. And it's actually a coincidence that we are recording on Mother's Day today. With that being said, please welcome our special guest, Lisa Rains, the founder of Pride Road Franchise. Pride Road Franchise grew out of Lisa's refusal to accept that there was only one way for a woman to have an architecture career and a family life. She brought her practice in the domestic sector and then invested to turn her business into one that other ambitious architects wanting a work-life balance can buy into. She's had a seat on the RIBA Council from 2015 to 2018, been chair of Women in Property Northwest, and founded Manchester Curious, an urban architecture outreach festival. Lisa is passionate about seeing other architects achieve their potential, particularly those who have left or are on the verge of leaving the profession. So with that introduction, Lisa, welcome and thank you for joining us today. How are you? And tell us more about yourself.
Woo, thank you. Thank you so much for having me, and what a great introduction. It's really funny when you hear it, someone else read it out.
So much. It's great.
That sounds pretty cool. I'm like, that's quite a lot of things. Yes. Okay. I think I've said this to you guys before. I think it's just about sometimes it's about stopping and taking stock of what you've achieved and going, actually, you know, to be on an architecture course, you know, is you've got to have broken through some pretty hard boundaries to get there. So yeah, it's always about just stopping and taking stock. off piste at the beginning. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, so you mentioned this is about architecture and motherhood, and yes, it is Mother's Day, so I've had a full-on Mother's Day experience today. I've got three kids who are 11, 16 and 18, and they've been a dream today. They've tidied the house and cleaned the kitchen, and I actually saw the three of them working together, which I think is the first time since the beginning of the first lockdown room together, so that was pretty cool. And they made me lunch, so that was really good, so I'm pleased. Yeah, I've done something good today. I've encouraged them to do something together.
Yeah, it's nice not to have to do it for yourself.
Yeah, and you deserve it as well.
Yeah. Next year, we want a massage. We want a full-blown Thai massage, nothing less.
Yeah, the older they get, the more you have to ask from them.
Yeah. So going back to the topic of architecture and motherhood, you know, I try to be a role model for everyone. Mm-hmm. And again, you're kind of looking at you guys, you know, I think it's important to realize that you are a role model. And so, you know, we have to model good behavior and, you know, kind of this is how we do things. You've always got that kind of professional head and kind of full steam ahead. So yeah, that's what I try and do with the kids. It's kind of like, look, I'm busy. This is how I work. You know, you have to kind of, sometimes it's, you have to fit in with me, but actually this is the way the world works. And I can't kind of mother them all the time, even though some of them are more demanding than others.
Where you're going is already heading into our first question, so I thought I might as well just bring that up now. So what is your experience being a woman and a mother in architecture? How do you balance your family life?
Well, it's always been a challenge. So, you know, when I started out in architecture, you know, I think I did it in 7.5 years from going into university to qualifying. And you come out and you're working in, you know, working in those large practices, the design led practices, and you kind of work in those really long hours, and you kind of think that you're unstoppable and you can just do, you know, you can, your time's your own, so you can work all the hours that you've got, and that's fine. Then you look around, you're going, what do you mean? And you realize that your friends are like off doing something else.
Scary.
Yeah. And then so we think it's normal to kind of work that hard. And so when I kind of met my first husband, that sounds like I'm really old. When I met my first husband, he was like, he wasn't in the industry, and he was like, how can you work so hard? You know, I'm like, oh, am I? I thought this was normal. And I just started kind of second guessing myself and taking, like, slowing down a bit, which actually wasn't great for my career, and it already started challenging the career. So, and that was kind of like mid to late 20s. And then as we kind of, our relationship, you know, we got married and had kids, you know, really you can't work, you know, the long hours. So, and then, you know, when I had my first child, I went part-time. You know, you have to, you know, that's it, you've got to find a balance. And in fact, I was made redundant whilst I was on maternity leave, pretty much. So I had to then go and find another job. So it was like, right, okay, this time I can start to dictate what I want to do, and I want to work part-time, and I want to, you know, work for a medium-sized practice. And found a job that kind of suited my CV, and that worked pretty well until I had my second child. Now, the economy was quite buoyant at the time, so they were really supportive of me going off on mat leave. And they kind of actually gave me a bit of financial support, which was amazing. But when I came back in, I kind of started to see some of my colleagues being kind of made associates and stuff. That shook me. And I kind of realised that actually I needed to do something about it. I needed to, you know, kind of put more skin in the game. I looked at Women in Property. I joined Women in Property, and I targeted the chair role. It was a really useful exercise to kind of actually start to become a bit of a thought leader and networker, kind of what you guys are doing with the 1 to 100 podcast, kind of making waves for yourself, because no one else is going to do it for you. You've got to do it yourself.
Yeah.
So I'd started... So I was on the Women in Property, targeted the chair role, and then the financial crash of 2008-09 came. And at that point, I thought, I'll take time off and have child number three and just give the economy chance to recover. But it didn't. So I took a year out on mat leave, and then when I went back in, there was no job to go back to, pretty much. And then I had to find a job, and there were just no jobs at all. So I ended up having to set up on my own. So there you go, architecture and motherhood. It's a bit scary.
It's a little bit hard.
There has to be a sacrifice somewhere, and it's working out what that sacrifice is going to be. I mean, as I, you know, my role models when I was a young architect were men or sort of women who'd sacrificed family, you know, and it was, I couldn't see anyone who'd actually did, you know, I couldn't see a woman with family and an architectural career. So I didn't know how that was going to happen. So yeah, again, hopefully, you know, I'm there. I'd like to see myself as a role model that, you know, yeah, you can do it. And, you know, that's exactly what Pride Rage is about. You know, it is a practice, it's a franchise. So, you know, I purposefully set it up for kind of women and people who were struggling in the industry to get that work-life balance, you know, that there is a support network there. So if you want to set up on your own, we provide that structure for you. And the market of being in the domestic residential sector means that, you know, it is flexible and it is forgiving of restricted times, and you don't have to be sat at your machine, you know, at 6:30 on a Sunday evening. Oops, I am.
Yeah. No, but I think that's amazing, you know, having something like Pride Road. I think we need more things like that, because, you know, I think in our previous episodes, in one of our episodes, we talked about how most of us have like our own timelines. Like, we go to uni, we have to complete architecture by a certain age, and this is the amount of years that we need to do architecture by. And then we think, oh, okay, I need to get married by this point. If you want to get married, you need to have kids by this point. And you're just thinking, can I have it all? But yeah, my question to you is, like, did you ever have a timeline looking back? Did you have a timeline? And if you didn't or did, like, did it work for you now?
Did I have a timeline? Yes, absolutely. But it was linear.
Yeah.
It was following the patriarchal model, which was, and I had a slide somewhere of it, that was, you know, you go to university, you're 18, you come out, you're 21, you do your first year out, you know, you're 22, you do your second year out, whatever you do, and then go into industry, you qualify, you go, and then you go into practice, and then you're, you know, you become an architect, you qualify in the practice, you become an architect, and then you become an associate. Oh no, project job architect, project architect, associate, and then, you know, director. But it was really linear. And I remember I was promised, you know, that associate role when I kind of started at my second practice, and it never happened. So, and I realized, you know, I remember looking back when I'd been 10 years qualified, going, hold on. You know, my first or second year of being a qualified architect, you know, I was thinking I was going to be an associate, and it didn't happen. So, you know, when kids came along, my career just took a nosedive. So it's just, I mean, interesting to think about kids and at what point do you have them. I remember a girl at uni who had a kid, you know, in a first year, and I was like, that was crazy, you know.
Wow.
But actually, you know, maybe it's not a bad idea, because you've got support and freshers and you're young and you've got the energy. I don't know, maybe it's a bit crazy, I don't know. I don't think there's an answer, you know, I really don't. And then the other thing with my friends, like my peer group, who weren't architects, you know, we were kind of, were we the first generation of kind of, you know, we thought we could have it all. It was like, you know, that Sarah Jessica Parker Sex in the City type thing. You know, we could do everything. And, you know, we were the career girls. And then, you know, some of my friends had problems with fertility and so couldn't conceive, you know, because we'd left it that bit later. So yeah. No, like my neck's gone up. I'm like,
oh my God. Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, it is a sacrifice. I don't, how old are you guys?
I'm 23.
Yeah, between 23 and 24.
22 to 24. Yeah.
Yeah. Just time, you know, it is a factor.
Do you think there's a difference, or like it's more pressure within the architecture industry because the career is so long, that if you wanted to finish that career path, you're basically at the end of your 20s, early 30s possibly, and then you're like, you know, felt like
I kind of want to, you know, what would my advice be? Well, it will probably be just get yourself on that first, second, third career rung before you start thinking about taking time out. But by then, you know, you are in your like late 20s, early 30s, and you know, time's ticking. It's not the best thing for, you know, our bodies to be having kids at that age. You know, if you're talking about getting that job stability and having, you know, ticked those, you know, qualified and done your part threes and all the rest of it, and then once you've done your part threes to then go in and start getting some, you know, crucial kind of site experience, yeah, it's a challenge. But I mean, to be honest, it's good to talk about it.
Did anyone else have a timeline? Naomi,
you know what, you can't help but think about it. Like, you just have to think about it, because the career is so long, and I've always wanted to, I wanted to have a nice period out of education to just live life, experience, travel, do you know what I mean, before potentially having children, because, you know, I would like to, you know, just experience life a bit more outside of school, because then it feels a bit tight, you know. I've been in school my whole life in education, and bam, like straight as soon as you're out the door, straight it's time, you know, it's this time.
Yeah.
You've not got long, well, not like you've not got long left, but do you know what I mean, it's just a shame that, you know, our bodies kind of have this, our time limit. So yeah, it's a little bit concerning, and I don't personally want to be the type of person, even though like my career is important to me, I don't want to be the type of person to prioritize that over having a family. So it's difficult. I've not actually heard a conversation about, you know, women in architecture or in this profession, like how they balance that out, if they, you know, had to have sacrifices like that.
I think it's because the system is literally not built for us. I mean, you don't hear about it because it's almost like it's hidden. You know, these women that are, as Lisa said, you know, promised these positions of authority or leadership, they can't actually, you know, if it comes to a time where they want to have a family, the industry wouldn't accept it as such, because it's just not a system that's built for us. And I guess it's difficult because it makes you think, like, do you have to compromise your family in order to pursue your career? And, you know, how do we overcome that? And Lisa's obviously said that, you know, you've created a system that works for us, but should it actually be like that? Like, why should we have to create brand new systems that work for us? And why can't the old systems alter the way that things are being run?
Yeah, I mean, I see kind of like lessons being learned from how I practice to be taken back into education. I mean, you know, if you think about it, you know, you should be able to kind of study and have a kids at the same time, because, you know, other courses, what they have, like, what, 24 hours a week face-to-face work or something like that. And then, you know, if you talk to kind of friends who are doing different courses, how much time do they actually spend studying and work at? And, you know, I think that the architecture course needs to be kind of brought in line. And, you know, I don't know whether it's shorter studio projects or just better time management on studio projects. Because if you think about, you know, architecture, you know, you've got all your lectures and then all the coursework relating to the lectures, which is like a normal degree course. And then you've got your studio work on top. So, you know, something's got to give over across those three subjects in order to make it fit into a normal working week.
No, most definitely.
It should be a 9-to-5, and then you can work life around it, or, you know, not lose your mental health and have the right kind of work-life balance and get yourself into some good practices. I'm not saying I ever did it, you know.
it would be nice.
I think we said a few times that like we should be studying as if it is a 9-to-5, because then you can get into good practice when you go into the working world as well. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, you've spoken today a lot about just even sacrificing your time to help other women. So for you, I mean, and I guess for any other female or even male that's listening to this podcast, what does empowering women look like to you?
For me, it's about kind of reaching down and kind of pulling people up, helping people up, and just going, it's about modeling good practice and just going, yes, you know, you can have a family and work as well. I think that's the most important, and helping people up. I mean, sort of Pride Road, you know, my franchisees, you know, are kind of, one of them was working in a library, had given up on architecture altogether, having qualified, you know, having spent so long studying and working, and to find that it actually wasn't conducive to having a family, and she'd kind of given up and gone to work in a library for peace of mind, to go, actually there's another way of doing this.
Yeah,
come and join Pride Road and we'll provide that support and structure you need.
So for me
it's about helping people who are, you know, who may be giving up on the profession. I've spoken to a few people this week in a similar situation, people who've, you know, qualified, worked in the industry, then couldn't get a job and then gone to retrain or working at the council.
Including students and graduates then? Or is it just like qualified architects?
Yeah, I'm talking about architects, qualified architects. Yeah. Okay. So who've actually got to the, you know, they've broken through, they've kind of worked through, qualified as an architect, and then still, you know, struggle in the
industry.
Is...
Yeah.
Tough.
Yeah.
Especially if you haven't taken any years out and you've just gone from part one, two, and three, and like, you just can't even get into the industry. Like, honestly, that would just break me.
Like, what was the point in all of that? It just seems
people who have practiced and then kind of stepped out. I don't know anyone who's not been able to kind of get experience. Yeah.
Oh, thank God for that.
In terms of success, what does it mean to be a successful woman in architecture, in your opinion?
Oof, success is, it's a good question, and I've been thinking about this. I think my version of success kind of changes on a daily basis. So for me, personally, where I'm up to at the moment, success is the fact that my architecture business, which is now Pride Road, North Cheshire, which used to be Rains Architecture. So that's the business that I set up when I went on my own. We've changed the name from Rains Architecture to Pride Road. So as part of the franchising, that's actually been going for 10 years now. Wow. So for me, in kind of like that, you know, is quite a milestone, and it's like, it works, the business works, it brings in money, you know, it pays my bills and it looks after my kids, keeps a roof over my head, you know, so, you know, that does exactly, you know, what I wanted it to do. And then I launched Pride Road, the franchise business. So that I launched that 5 years ago. So success is, you know, just kind of, I guess, persistence and keeping it all going and move and growing. You've always got to grow.
Yeah, it does what it says on the tin, literally. I know you've spoken a lot about, you know, adaptability, mainly being able to kind of take life for what it is and kind of, you know, if it throws something at you, just being a bit more resilient in terms of, you know, you don't know what it's going to throw at you, basically, especially with architecture and even the fact that we're in the pandemic now. Like, how do you sort of pivot around these situations? But I guess in your respect of being, I guess we would class you as a successful woman in architecture, but what do you that's okay what would you consider as the role of an architect, or what do you believe the role of an architect is?
Oh, that's a big question. What's the role?
Big question.
I think it's about improving people's lives and making their spaces better and helping. Yeah, I'm kind of like talking about people. It is about helping people, you know, not building edifices. It's about, you know, for me, it's about helping people, whether that's communities, individuals, families. You know, I think it's on the personable, on the person level, you know, whether you're creating street scenes or hospitals. You know, it is about improving people's experiences and people's lives. That's
definitely
it.
I definitely agree with that. Do you feel like, even when, I guess, speaking to clients and things like that, that you have to be quite personal? Because I know you said that it was, you know, it is about people. Do you think that that is a massive part of, I guess, architecture, is being able to sort of be yourself, be a bit personal, just kind of talk to them on like on a level almost?
Absolutely. You've got to. I mean, I just deal with domestic clients, so you are, you know, talking about their homes. So for me, you've got to establish that rapport and understand where they're coming from, and then kind of try and direct them in the right direction, because you're playing around with people's money as well. So I'm very, very aware when I'm talking to clients.
Yeah, and I think, like, with what you're saying, I quite like your ethos and even the ethos of your franchise as well. But do you think there's a difference between, like, domestic clients and then, like, when you're dealing with things commercially? Because I feel like you're able to build the rapport with your domestic clients because it's like a personal thing. But then when it comes to like commercial architecture, I don't know, sometimes I feel like there's like a gap because you're almost just like working.
That's really interesting. I think you have to understand the industry that you're working in. So I'm running some podcasts and I'm going to I'm going to be starting to speak to people in different sectors, to understand the sectors and understand how they make the money and how decisions are made. And I think, yeah, I think that's absolutely key. You know, if you are going into a practice, just try and understand the economy and the financial viability of projects. And then you can understand, you know, where the decision making comes from. Yeah. Sorry, did I answer your question?
Like what you were saying is just like, I think when you're going into the sector, just understanding what they do, their ethos, their client. So you know if it fits you as a person and your ethos. So, like, personally for me, I know I would want to like help people, you know, work with communities. So I think like going to like a commercial firm would be kind of like what would suit me. So
it depends though. It depends on what kind of, I guess, what the brief is as well.
Yeah.
Because some briefs will be probably a lot more personable. So I think it depends on what sort of commercial projects you're going into. But you may not exactly design like a law firm, for example, because you'd be like, sorry, who? Who, what, where? But I think if you get to know these communities, then you would find yourself in your project.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think everything we touched on is really interesting about kind of the ethos and the role putting people at the forefront. And it just kind of shows how much of an impact architecture has. And this is quite an interesting question, because I was thinking of Frank Lloyd Wright's kind of famous quote about the mother art is architecture. And then even today, as we've discussed, I found it quite ironic how they say architecture is the mother of all arts, and yet it's not very accommodating of women within the field and being mothers. So just as a random question through that link, do you believe architecture is the mother of all arts?
And you did send me that question and I didn't read it before we started this. Well, I kind of see myself as a Renaissance man. It kind of like, it's a bit of a, I feel like I'm a bit of a jack of all trades and a master of none. Because in architecture, you have to know bits about everything. Mm-hmm. I think it does make it interesting. It's not necessarily all about arts. You know, it's about the world, economics, you know, financial viability. You know, we talk about clients and structural and financial models. And then you've got, you know, planning law and, you know, kind of all the laws and policies and all of that. you know, knowledge about building regulations, you know, structures, environment, life, sustainability, you know, all of it. It's so many things that kind of we bring together in our designs. I don't think we're experts in everything, and that's another thing to think. I think for me, my architectural education, especially like the part three, was about learning how to look for stuff and how to research, you know. So if you have got a question on, you know, how you're going to design this, or what laws are around that, or what's the latest guidance on this, you know kind of where to look or how to find out. So I don't think we're the font of all knowledge, but I think we're definitely kind of like signposty, outreachy. I'm kind of making lots of different analogies and things like tentacles and I don't know. Yeah. But it's not just art. Mm. It's everything else.
I'd like to hear some of your guys' opinions, maybe. Adonai, what do you think? It's a hard question.
Yeah, it's a hard question. But I think Lisa kind of said a good point, actually. Like, architecture's like so many things, like a composite of like so many things that we bring together. So, but you know what, the quote in itself is just like mind-boggling. I'm just trying to understand it. When you look at like architecture, it's just kind of like a big umbrella of so many things. That,
yeah.
So yeah, in a way it could be the mother, but just not accommodating for women.
Actually, kind of it is, you know, because if you think what mothers are doing, yeah, like they're actually doing all the jobs all at the
everything.
Same time. Like, you know what I mean? You're a teacher, you're the chef, you're the carer, you're the, and I feel like architecture, you know, in kind of like symbolism, I think that probably does mirror each other in that kind of way. It just kind of like encompasses and does everything all at the same time simultaneously. Mm. But like being like whole, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think I agree with you ish, but I think architecture is also the mother, but the mother like that would kind of allow their children to go off and do their own thing. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like the mother that's like, okay, I'll teach, what was it, to teach you how to fish and something something, everybody knows the saying.
I don't know.
I mean, you know what I'm saying, but yeah, that kind of saying, like, you know, teach a man to fish and he will fish forever, or something along the lines of that. But know,
is that how it goes?
Good effort.
It's not how it goes, but I think yeah, it teaches us to be independent. I mean, you learn one thing and you go off and do so many other different things, and in that respect, it could essentially be the, of all arts is a big exaggeration, but in some arts most definitely.
Yeah, definitely. There's just so many things. Like, I had to think about this in terms of like, what is mother, what is art, just what are they? And like, particularly art, that's very expressionistic and emotional and kind of creates a connection with people. So I always think about it always goes back to architecture and people for me, and just thinking about how it affects their emotions, their behaviors, and yeah, everything along those lines. It's a hard question, but it's so interesting to hear what responses come out of it.
Sounds like a question for Clubhouse.
Literally, I think people just start talking about that forever.
And as a, I guess just to finish this off, I think final question, what advice would you give other women in architecture, thinking about doing architecture, on managing work life and family life, like finding that balance?
I think it's hard. It's tricky. I think talk to people, look out for people's experiences. You know, you can look for family friendly practices if you're looking for a job, help other women, you know, kind of like what you guys are doing, kind of being out there representing and helping, and sort of being a collective as well. You've got that hive mind, and you can start to kind of, then you can start to dictate kind of what's going on. Yeah, I think just don't forget to have a family. I think it's quite easy just to get swept up in architecture, and kind of you might get quite far down the line and realize maybe your priorities were kind of in the wrong place. So just be mindful about it. Not saying that there's a solution, or you know that we should all kind of have kids first and then go to architecture school, because it might not happen. the perfect solution's not there yet, but I think it's up to us to think about it and help.
Yeah.
I think even by talking about it, you know, you're kind of making, you're voicing it, and I think that's important.
Yeah, and I'm hoping now, since everyone's had an experience of lockdown life and having to look after their kids, both males and females, hopefully a lot more industries will become more accommodating and kind of focus on making that work-life balance more available and part of how the industry works. So that would be amazing to see.
I hope there will be more flexible working. We'll see what happens. I mean, I'm starting to kind of feel a lot of clients are kind of demanding going back to like real life visits and stuff. So we'll see whether we completely flip back into real life stuff and what stays online.
Yeah, it's not one of those things. Just have to see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
That brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you so much, Lisa. Thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure. I've really enjoyed it. I feel like I'm kind of up the hornet's nest. it's like those scary questions, motherhood and architecture.
So. You ended up so well. Definitely that we needed to discuss. So it's useful for us as we're kind of on our journey there, and we're eventually going to have to encounter these things for ourselves.
It's one of those questions I just decided to avoid, just push it. Push it.
But yeah, it's, you just don't, yeah, it's time we stopped sweeping it under the carpet and actually talked about it.
Oh my God, I need to sort my priorities out.
you, Lisa, for coming, and thank you everyone so much for listening today. We have an exciting episode coming up to you, for you soon, so stay up to date on our social media at 1to100podcast. Send us a DM, email us at 1to100podcast@gmail.com. We love to hear all of your suggestions on how we can tailor our content for you. And that's a wrap, everybody. Thank you.